with a big stare like Stone Cold with a few beers. Play the game, I end the game, I'm champion, I'm Triple H. Undertaker, I'm your maker, bury the brother like Kane. Ooh, 1-3, hit the tombstone, hit the choke slam on face. Yeah, ooh, yeah, like a macho heel, tell like I'm Tommaso. If you suck with lots of mottos, I'ma keep a couple models. Ooh, and you may call me HBK. When I'm tuning up the fame, you best be getting in my way. Ooh, yeah, I'm degenerate, I love it, yes, I love it. If you wait down with that, then I got two words for you, suck it. Too sweet, put your fangs up. Too sweet, pouring up the cup. This big busy 23, got me feeling way too sweet. Too sweet.
Welcome, everyone, to your longest-running Australian wrestling podcast, Wrestle Radio Australia. I'm your host, Todd Eastman. It is good to be here with you this week. Thank you once again for everyone that sent comments and good thoughts about our latest podcast, Making Chicken Salad, due with Lachlan Albert. It's really fun to film, really fun to record, and to talk about all the overseas stuff with Lachlan. A really good guy, and I'm glad he's come aboard. And two episodes down now, and he still hasn't decided to leave yet. So we're doing well. aside from that, it feels like I'm doing this every week, and it sucks that I am. But you know, it is what it is, unfortunately. And that is Smash Mouth, Richie Taylor. See, Smash Mouth, Smash Face, the Smash Hit. There's so many Smashes around, but this one, unfortunately, Smash Mouth, Richie Taylor, has announced his retirement, or is his intention to retire after one last match. Surprisingly, he wants that match to be against a Smash Hit, Joel Bateman. So there's two Smashes. It's Smashes for the Ashes, I guess. So the Deathmatch Down Under champion going up against the one of the owners of Deathmatch Down Under. That will be a good match. But aside from that, to Richie, he is one of the true gentlemen of the sport. A really nice guy, so very kind-hearted. It will be a massive loss to the Victorian wrestling scene that he won't be a part of it anymore. So that is unfortunate, but a massive loss to Australian wrestling because he is one of the good ones. And I just hope in whatever you're going into career-wise and all that, it brings you all the joy in the world, mate. And thank you so much for the times you've come on the show. Thank you for working when we worked together against Smash Face, Mitch McCarthy and my boy, JL Gold. Thank you so much for that, mate. I had a great time. It's so much fun working with you in the ring, outside of the ring, here on the podcast. Everything, anytime I've worked with you, it's always been an absolute dream, an absolute pleasure. Never had an issue. All the best for your career going forward in whatever you plan on doing, mate. Aside from that, it feels like I'm saying this every week, but please, everyone, stay safe. I know at the moment, Victoria and Melbourne are getting smashed with this whole Delta variant. Hopefully, we can get over this sooner rather than later and you guys can get back to wrestling. But there is wrestling now at the moment. Well, at the moment, there is wrestling now still going on in Western Australia, in South Australia, and also up here in Queensland. So if you get a chance, you can watch that sort of stuff online. Please get around it so we can support Australian wrestling as much as we can. Even though New South Wales and Victoria are being slammed at the moment, Australian wrestling is still going on. Let's please support it as much as we can. My guest this week, before I get on to my guest this week, the usual story, guys. Please subscribe to WRA. It's free. You can do it on Stitcher, iTunes, it's Apple Podcasts now. Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, anywhere you get your podcast from, we're there. If you go on YouTube, please hit subscribe, notifications, hit the bell so you'll know when every episode drops of these. We put up a couple of special apps this week as well in between Chicken Salad and that, and that was an interview with Bobby Lashley and an interview with Seth Rollins. So hope you do enjoyed those when they popped up. If you do go by Apple Podcasts, please give us a 5-star, gets us inside more ears. Share the show and spread the word about Wrestle Radio Australia because we spread the word about wrestling in Australia ourselves. Follow us on Facebook, Wrestle Radio Australia. Also on Twitter and Instagram at Wrestle Radio AU. And I am personally at Beast Eastman on Twitter. Support Australia. At the moment, I feel like I'm saying this every week. If you can support in any way you can Australian wrestling, I'm talking wrestler merch. I'm talking the Australian Wrestling Network, any of the many stuff and many subscription services that are going on, or even the YouTubes. Like if you go on like and subscribe and Wrestle Radio Australia, go and do the same to Deathmatch Down Under. Go and do the same to Riot City Wrestling, Wrestle Rampage. All of those guys have YouTube channels. Go and subscribe to them because you'll get to see all the good stuff that they put up as soon as they put it up. I know the Australian Wrestling Network have just put up a whole new bunch of stuff, or about to put up a whole new bunch of stuff. So get around that and just support it as much as you can. Support the local industry as much as you can. That is it for the preamble. We'll get into our guest. Our guest this week is probably one of the, how would I describe her? She would be the biggest unknown name in Australian wrestling, or the Australian wrestling scene anyway. Her name is Alex, and she probably goes better known as Redneck Kung Fu. If you have seen the stuff that she's put up, she's worked with people like the Young Bucks, Adam Cole, Joey Janela, Nick Gage. The list is endless of big names now in America that she has worked with, done artwork for, all of that sort of thing. She is a big proponent of deathmatch wrestling. We talk a bit about that. And we talk about a bit about the antichrist of deathmatch wrestling, and that is Jim Cornette. All that and more right after this, right here on Wrestle Radio Australia. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, everyone. Smash Mouth Richie Taylor here. Some of you might have heard the news. Some of you might not have, but I just wanted to let everyone know that, unfortunately, 2021 will be the end of Smash Mouth Richie Taylor. You know, it's been 12 years that I've portrayed this character for, and as much as Richie Taylor is a part of me, you know, I'm also Tori Puglisi, and, you know, there's been a lot of things happening in my life this year. I'm in the progress of starting a new career. I have a baby on the way, and I went for an MRI the other day because my hip's been playing up, and it wasn't the greatest of news, and I really had to decide whether pro wrestling, that I could keep doing it, and I just came to the conclusion that, you know, I'm 31, I've had a good run, I've had a good time, but it's time for me to hang up the boots. Of course, I'm not doing it immediately, all right? But I do only have one more match left in me. That's all I've got. I want to do the send-off for everyone. For everyone that has supported me throughout the years, I want to do the send-off. As much as I want to do it for you people, I want to do it for myself as well, because I don't think I could go forward and not have had a last match. So, I'm issuing a little bit of a challenge here. All right, so this person that I'm challenging, you know, I've actually burnt bridges with this person once before in my earlier days when I was going through a lot of shit. But, you know, I came back and he supported me and he was on my side 100%. Every time I needed help or anything, he was there supporting me. He gave me the push that I needed. He always believed in me when I didn't believe in myself. So what better way to go out than to have Smash Mouth versus the Smash Hit? So Joel Bateman, would you please give me the honor of wrestling me in my last match? Ball's in your court, brother.
An incredibly nervous Alex from Redneck Kung Fu. How are you, mate? Thanks for coming on.
Hey, thanks for having me, man. I'm not too bad. Been a nice night. How's your night treating you?
It is surprisingly quiet. Something is going on with the internet, but we'll be fine. It's Australian internet, so this is what we constantly deal with.
The server is down. Our Australian server is down.
Yeah. For the people watching this on YouTube, there's not something wrong with the screen. Alex is a woman of mystery. So we've agreed to keep her.
That, international woman of mystery.
Yes, international woman of mystery. We have agreed to keep her this way. So this is why half of the screen will be my ugly face and the other half of the screen will be her digitized in some way, shape, or form face. Haven't quite worked out how I'm going to do this yet, but it's going to be done.
I trust your judgment.
Yes, well, I'm afraid to not do it, so you'll hunt me down and kill me.
Correct.
So tell me this, right? You're a chick from Brisbane. How did you get, like, recognised by wrestlers from around the world to start doing, like, art for you? Because I think the first thing I saw of yours, this is personally, was did you do the – was it, like, the elite? You did those guys in their little hoodie thingies?
In their little, yeah, their little onesies. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How does this all come about?
It was kind of a weird, like, fortuitous thing that happened because I believe I was just, you know, just doing fan art and stuff of wrestlers that were around. And every now and then one of them would be like, fuck, hey, that's pretty good. Like, do you want to actually, like, do a shirt for me? And I was like, oh yeah, all right. Like, you know, like at the time it was a little bit, it's like, oh my god, I know who you are and you're talking to me, what the fuck.
Yeah. But
it did start out like that, and then, you know, a couple of little opportunities here and there, and then just word of mouth really pushed it to the next level. So yeah, like, I didn't really do anything different. I just doing fan art, and it just caught their eye.
So that was that the first thing, or was it the stuff before?
It was one of the first big ones for sure for the Bucks, yeah. Before that, I'm a bit sketchy on the timeline because it's so long ago, 2015, the not too distant past. But yeah, I think around that time as well, Adam Cole and some other people who in recent times have sort of, like, we don't talk about them anymore.
Yeah,
because they're
enough.
Terrible people.
Yep.
That's, like, that's an unfortunate part of it too. There's a lot of stuff that I've done that I can't really reshare because it, like, the people who it was for, it's very, like, oh.
Yeah.
Like, but, yeah, it was definitely the Bucks for sure. Trying to think early on. It definitely started. Oh, Joey Janela. Joey fucking Janela. The good boy. The bad boy. But... I did some fan art for him when he was starting to kick up that real, like, Miami Knights 1984 gimmick. And, yeah, he liked the look of it, got in touch with me, and we did a couple of designs together that did well. And then after that, every subsequent job that came through was like, hey, Joey Janela recommended you to me. And I'm like, fuck, like, cool. So definitely word of mouth. Also, Steve Mack from the Hit Squad was one of the first guys too.
Okay, so
shout out to Mack.
So were you always a wrestling fan, or was it something that, like, you'd seen? You'd like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Always. Like, some of my earliest memories are literally just watching, like, fucking stupid 2004 episodes of Raw, and, like, you know, that you remember the storyline that was Kane and Eugene, and, like, Eugene wanted to be friends with Kane, and Kane kept fucking trying to kill him.
No, I don't
that's
remember that at all.
My wow. First wrestling memories. Yeah, that was a fucking weird time for wrestling. There was some shit happening just after the Attitude Era. They're like, what do we do now?
Yeah,
weird shit.
See, this is what makes me know, like, this is how I know I'm old, is because when I talk to people, like, so what's your earliest memory? And you're like, oh, 2004. Oh, shit. It's like we had this thing.
Yeah.
Somebody put
this... yeah, like, I'm a millennial, dude. Fucked up.
Somebody put this thing up on Facebook the other day with, and my wife had answered it and was like, oh, what's the first movie you remember going to see in a cinema? And she's like, oh, Lion King. And I'm like, Superman 2. Oof. And I'm just, oof. She's in another room and just messaged me going, how old are you? I'm like, shut up.
Hey, ma'am, please. Yeah. But I mean, like, I've what are they, born in 95, but I've gone back and watched a lot of wrestling before then. There was a time where I was just like, okay, I have to watch all of it. I have to watch everything.
I think we all.
So I just got into, like, you know, I watched a fuckload of, like, Superstars from 1993.
Just on Jobber matches.
Yeah. Oh, literally squash matches, like fucking, what's his name? Mantle?
Yeah.
Fucking Savio Vega before he was Savio Vega. Fucking Quang.
Quang, yeah, Quang.
That shit was mental, but it was kind of great. Like, it really was kind of great.
Turns out, like, Reno Riggins is a favorite wrestler.
That, no. My favorite wrestler is Owen Hart.
Good call. That's a very good call. Mm. Yeah. So what because you now are more, you're very much into the death match, that sort of genre. I know how she raised her eyebrow because her and I have lovely chats about this all the time.
Yeah. Todd says, what do you like this shit for? And I'm like, no. Shut the fuck up, Todd.
I do not say that. I say, well, don't you? I understand people like it. I personally do not.
Yeah.
Like, I never, like, that's the thing. Have you ever heard me say, look, this is the shits, you shouldn't like this, what's wrong with you? I never say that.
Oh, yeah.
I'm always just like, yeah, I don't understand it. Like, tell me what you like about it, because it's something I want to understand. I want to understand why people like it. It's not my cup of tea, though. I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, if it's not your cup of tea, you kind of know that it is, or isn't, rather. So, like, it's definitely, I would call it a polarizing style of wrestling. There's something to be said about guys who will, on a week in, week out basis, will, for the entertainment of other people, bloodlet, right? Mm. And, like, that in itself kind of lends, like, an extra little spectacle. Like, there's something about it that's just like, holy fuck, like, these dudes, like, there's, you know, people say deathmatch wrestlers can't actually work, but, like, they can. And if there are a lot of them that can't, definitely.
Yeah. I think it is.
The good ones can.
Yeah, I think it's the ones that can't are the ones that stand out to people that are looking for that argument that they can't work. And I think...
Yeah.
And you can argue with me on this if you want. I think a lot of people that are finding the way that they're not all that good a worker might lend themselves to go that way because they think it's an easier, shortcut for them. I'm not saying that's the majority of them. I'm just saying some.
Oh yeah, no, like, I know what you're saying. Yeah, that could be said. That could be an argument. But what I think. Like, wouldn't you just rather be, like, a shitty wrestler than, like, fucking slit your fucking forehead open for fun? Like, if that's the lesser option, like,
yeah.
I don't know if it's easier. Like, I would be a little bit like, oh, I gotta bleed how much? Like, you know?
Yeah. Oh, believe me. Yeah, I know. Because I wouldn't do it to save it. You have to pay me a hell of a lot of money.
So it's, oh, yeah. So it's just like, and, you know, I will use Gage as an example because he's like the best deathmatch guy going. Something about him is so genuine. It's like you can see it on his face when he makes his entrance and people just mob him. And they're like giving him a cuddle and fucking rubbing his little bald head, and he's loving it. So it's guys like that, and they're not they're not all like that. They're not all on his level of just loving what he does. And the guys that are good at deathmatch, they love what they do, and it shows.
I think for me, it's, and I think I said this when I talked to Joel Bateman about it. For me, it's like I've always thought of death matches as being the absolute culmination of something. Like something that, like, you've worked your way up, and the only way this thing is ever going to get solved is that you and I are going to go in there and literally kill each other.
Yeah.
And that, like,
definitely, like, I can understand that for sure. That's because, like, it makes sense, because, like, you can't really go any further in a wrestling match than doing that shit.
No.
Besides, you know, load a gun. Like, it's like really, but it's a fucking weird niche. Like, I will say that people who are into deathmatch wrestling tend to be a little bit gone. You have to be a little bit to see people do that to themselves and go like, you know. Yeah.
So how shocked were you when you saw that the Gage was on a national television show?
Doing that stuff,
like, and not holding back either. They didn't really hold back a hell of a lot from what they did on that match.
I did not think that they were gonna give our friend Nicholas Gage light tubes on national television. And you could see when that shit was breaking from children, and it's like, this fucking rules, man.
Yeah, well. Well, that's the thing. Like,
I mean,
at least with AEW, there's no real kids there.
Yeah,
if you know what I mean, it's all the demographic that they say that they're after. So I mean, they're doing that right. But like when I saw
the WWE fans who followed their guys to AEW. Yeah,
yeah. But I think I was talking to you about it when I saw, like, Jericho go through that glass. And the glass spray all over that front row. I'm like,
lawsuit.
Oh, 100%. Like, how do they think this was ever going to work and not get them in trouble somehow?
That's the thing. I think I was telling you, like, normally, like, that was just deathmatch taken from its context, put on telly.
Yeah.
And it was fine in that regard. But, like, there are fucking IWA Deep South shows from, like, 2006, and there's guys in the front row wearing, like, sheets to protect from the blood and glass. And so it's like people who normally go to that shit are expecting the shrapnel.
Yeah.
And I got to imagine that the AEW fans were kind of like, oh, shit, that's coming at me. That's glass. Help.
I noticed, like, there was one scene of when he went through that pane of glass, there was like five or six, like, women in the front row literally going,
yeah.
And I'm like, how did you not think this was going to happen to you?
Yeah, like, ladies, take a step back. You're in the fucking splash zone. The logistics of it, running a death match on a big TV show, kind of still is just like I don't understand how someone was like, yes, let's do this. This will be good.
The ironic thing is, it would have worked better if it was in that NXT arena, because they've got all the perspex around the thing.
Just like empty.
Because they've got the bleachers now. Legit, so they've got
they should have done that.
If they'd have put the perspex up around it, no one would have got hit by anything. And
legit, I was thinking, you know how, like, fucking perspex screens up everywhere at the moment, just covering everything. So it's like, wouldn't you think to take that little extra step of, like, let's make sure that we're not going to get fucking sued because someone got half a light tube in their skull?
Yeah.
Like, but I mean, like, that shit with Domino's pulling out, that was the funniest fucking thing I've ever seen. Pizza cutter on Jericho's head, Domino's ad.
Yeah, like, it was
fucking mental, actually.
Do you know the worst thing is, though? Like, they've done it, right? And they've gotten, they got heat over it. And if they'd have maybe just kept quiet about it and just let it go and, like, quietly said, yeah, we're going to do it. But then Moxley comes out on a podcast or anything, just tells them they need to chill the fuck out. It's like the last thing you want to do to a major sponsor and go, well, just chill out.
Yeah. That, like,
that's like saying to your parents when they were mad at you, look, will you just chill out, Dad? Because it tends to make. Well,
yeah.
That's the only.
It's, like, yeah. Logistically, kind of a nightmare, but they did it.
Yeah, they did it.
It was cool.
They did it.
And every fucking man and his dog was like, fuck Nick Gage, why is this motherfucker on? Fuck this shit, this guy's a garbage wrestler. And it's like, just be quiet.
I think you know it was one guy, but it was one guy leading the charge, but
little Jimothy.
So let's talk about you though. And when you first started doing that art and all of that, see, did you ever think it would lead you to be going over to those shows and seeing all of that sort of stuff?
Not at all. Like, I guess, you know, hindsight is 20/20, but at the time, even it was as it was all kind of happening, I was like, was this a fluke? Like, did one guy just hit me up and, like, that's it? But, like, it kept coming, and it's at the point now where it's like, this is my job and I can make a living off it, kind of.
Yeah. Which is, like, just tripped out when you think about it, that, like, one day you were sitting there going, I really like this dude, I'm gonna draw it. Next thing you know,
literally,
it's like, oh, would you like to get paid to do that? Yeah
literally. It's I do think about it sometimes, like, just I'm very lucky, and I'm like, I'm grateful for the opportunities that I get. I try and make the best of it, but yeah, like, it's, some people ask me, they say, you know, how do you get onto a wrestler and do a shirt for? And it's like, I didn't get onto them, man. They got onto me.
I don't know. What, like, to, you know, I don't know what to say. Anyone,
but I guess. But you know, just if you keep at it, like, eventually the result you want will come.
Yeah, yeah. But that led you to going over to actually. What actually led you to going over to doing it? Was it that you'd gotten that many commissions? You just go, I'm going to go over and meet some of these guys? Or was it them saying you should come over and hang? Or
I haven't been.
Oh, I thought you had.
There, man. No, man. I wish. That's the next step. I'm, you know, waiting for the world to settle down. But then, man, yeah. I'm fucking there. I'm there.
See, I always assumed that you'd somehow been over there for, like, a Mania weekend or something like that, where everyone's sort of,
that's
like...
That's the thing. Hey, it's her. But, like, yeah, man, like, that's the thing. There's enough guys that I talk to now, and they're like, yeah, I recommend you to her. I recommended you to them, blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, these guys know who I am now. So it's like, it's messed up. If I go over there and I'll be like, hey man, I'm the kid that does the shirts, they'll be like, ah, like, I know who you are.
Well, they don't, because no one's seen your face, but I mean, you know.
Well, I tell them. Yeah. It's well, me, the it's faceless me. From shirts.
Yes.
Yes.
we
like, prove it. I'm like, I can't.
He's the DM you sent me.
Please, it's my account, I promise.
just explain why you sort of, like, you've done that. Is it the fact that, like, we talked about it not too long ago, like tonight, about that sort of thing. But just why you sort of remain, because I told you I love it. I love the fact that you want to hide all this shit. That's, for me, being the old carny that I am, I love that shit. But why did you decide
that you want to do it? There is an element of it to that. Like, yeah, it's kind of a gimmick, but, like, it's not. But, you know.
It's a gimmick, like, and crippling social anxiety.
Basically. Like, two bears with one stone, man. Nah, it's more like, you know, like, I kind of want to make a name and a reputation for myself based on just the art that I do. Not to say like fucking like there are so many artists out there who post amazing art and also post lots of selfies, and that's just, you know, that's their approach to social media and promoting themselves. I don't know, I'm not a selfie person. I've never really been like, ooh, picture of me for the people, you know, like,
yeah,
I respect it, but that's just not my deal. And yeah, like sometimes people, when they know what you look like, they can be a little bit weird online. like nothing ridiculous, but it's like, I would rather have people interacting with my shit and talking to me about the art, not like, oh, cool face or some shit. Like, fuck, I don't know. Like, you know, like, it's just, it's never really entered into the equation for me.
Yeah. Yeah. So is it like, you love wrestling and all that. Is that like the only art you do now, or do you like doing other stuff, or what is it there? I know we're a wrestling podcast, but it's like, I'm interested in actually knowing all the other shit as well.
Well, mainly at the moment it's wrestling, because like all the work I get is wrestling. Sometimes it's not, but it like 99% is. So in the downtime between work, I figure if I, you know, keep putting out wrestling content and fan art and stuff, that will keep people engaged more than it would if I was like, here's my artsy drawing of some bullshit.
Yeah.
And like, I just, it's sort of just like knowing the audience that I've built up, I guess. Mm-hmm. Like I occasionally post fan art of other shit. It's just sort of like I'll stick to what people like and engage with for now.
Yeah.
But
so you started watching in 2004. You've gone back. You've watched all the other stuff. What is your favorite? Like, I know you like the deathmatch wrestling, and what is your favorite sort of era of wrestling, would you say?
I actually really, really enjoyed watching the new generation era. So like 92, early 90s and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like fucking Brett, like Mr. Perfect. Fucking, I'm blanking. So many fucking cunts around that. Like Razor, like all them dudes who were just coming up at that time, and they were having like their moment on the TV, mm-hmm. and it just... that shit just fucking worked so good. All them dudes just, they knew what they had to do and they fucking did it. And it was great. There was so much less fucking around than there is now.
Yeah. Well, it's like I know when like people that know me think that I love like 80s, I'd love 80s NWA and all of that stuff. And I do, I love that sort of stuff. But my favorite...
Oh yeah, gotcha.
My like guilty pleasure is I love watching like 1990-91 WCW, pretty much up till Hogan signed. I love that era with the whole Dangerously Alliance and the like,
yeah,
when Sting was like getting his due and like Lex had a decent run as a heel champion for once. And that era is so underratedly good.
I didn't. Yeah. It took me a lot longer to like realize that there was wrestling outside of the WWE/F. I think that's the same for a lot of people because you know it's the one, and the WCW like at the time was kind of where AEW is now, sort of, in terms of like. Kind of a competitor, but like,
yeah,
as close as the competitors they're gonna have. But you know, I didn't go back and watch the WCW stuff until I was a bit older, and I was thinking like the fucking the cruiserweight division in WCW. Like, what the fuck? That shit was fucking insane. Like, at a level that, like, no one else was doing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that shit invented indie wrestling.
Well, yeah. Yeah. Well, that's, I mean, back in those, like, they had, before that was around, it was sort of like you had, like, is it Dirt Bike Kid and that sort of stuff in, like, the indies? Then they were doing all that shit. And even, like, the kid was, like, the Lightning Kid. Him and Jerry Lynn doing a lot of stuff before. Yeah. All of that. It's just bringing that lucha style.
Yeah, it's definitely, like,
it was the lucha style with psychology is what made the cruiserweight division. Because I can't, like, I like lucha. I can't stand watching too much of it.
It's the extreme of, like, things you see in other styles of wrestling. They've incorporated from lucha, but then you see, like, pure lucha as it is, it's like, boys, calm down, boys, please.
Yeah It's like, can you at least pretend something hurt? Just pretend. I know you're going to your next spot, but sell it a little bit first.
To do a somersault, fuck you. You're doing a flip, fuck you. No time to feel pain.
Yeah.
And, like, as it stands though, like, that's lucha, and that's the context of lucha, and that
it's amazing
what. Oh yeah, like, just like the athleticism of some of that shit is fucking off the wall.
And even the fact that, like, as open as the world is and as out as the secret of wrestling is, it still seems to me that like the lucha over there is well protected.
In Mexico, wrestling is real.
Yeah,
wrestling is real in Mexico. Wrestling is real in Japan. Nowhere else.
Yeah, which is it's amazing. I wish we could turn it back a little bit, somewhat.
I do sometimes wish that kayfabe was alive, not as alive it used to be, but, like, a little bit alive, you know?
Yeah.
Because it's not. It's dead. They killed that bitch. She's dead.
It's hard. For someone who loves that as much as I'd like. You know as much. I don't really mingle with people after a show. I won't go out and hang out with fans. Like, I'll come and talk to you because I know that's
we're just gonna sit there and bitch. Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, I don't like, because I don't like doing it, because to me it's like, why would
it'd be fucked up.
Why would I make my job harder? If they think I'm an arrogant prick who won't come and talk to them, that's half my job's done when I start walking out there.
Truly. And it's little things like that are intact in some places. You can tell that people have, like, put thought into it, and they're like, all right, I'm the bad, mean guy. I'm not going to go, hey, fans, who wants a free photo? Like, it's definitely counterproductive to the idea you're trying to push.
Yeah.
Well, like, I respect that.
It's like when you and I were talking about it, and you were like, oh, if you ever need a design, I can do one for you. And I'm like, A, I don't think anyone would buy it, and B, I don't like selling, like, merch of my own stuff. I just don't. It goes against...
That's, and when you said that to me, I was like, but I respected it.
Yeah.
Why don't I think what you should do then is have someone have a plant outside with like a bootleg t-shirt. T-shirt stall with, like, I fuck you Todd shirts, and they're just selling them at the door. Like, someone, like, do you hate Todd? Show him.
Yeah. Show him you hate him.
But now that we've said that, we can't do it.
Can't do it.
We can't do that now because
you blew our spot, mate.
I've ruined it. I'm so sorry, Todd. I've fucking blown the spot, Todd. I'm so sorry.
It's the only chance I've ever had to make money in this business. Thanks.
Fuck, lost the filter now. What have you done?
I'm sorry, mate.
That's funny. No, you're right, mate. I've got plenty more where that came from.
I suppose,
you know, like, that's
I suppose that the okay thing for you, I guess, is, like, even though the world blew up and nothing was happening, you really probably weren't all that affected because people were still like, I need to make money from shirts. Please help us design shirts. So it didn't really
legit, man.
You could do your stuff from home. So you were kind of you were kind of well insulated.
More or less. Like I do remember at the time, like right when COVID hit and they weren't locking shit down yet, like they should have been. But so I the work didn't really slow down for me at that initial outset. But then a couple months in, when shit really started to like the wrestling shows were being closed, work did drop off a bit and I was like, uh-oh, my career is dead in the water. But yeah, like you said, people were like, oh, fuck, I can still put shit out and like still have a presence. Despite not being seen at the local shows. And like that seemed to work out fine. Like I did a bunch of stuff for people that they were like, you know, please fucking buy this shirt so I can eat. And I was like, yeah, man, I'll fucking do that up. Respect. But yeah, like it worked, dropped off a bit, but then it didn't. And I was like, I am probably in a pretty lucky position because they're like people getting laid off left and right. Just all these tweets on my fucking timeline all day, like, just got fired, text it, and it's like, oh man, I feel terrible because I'm just sitting here with the fucking iPad, like, I'm doing a pretty drawing. Yeah.
Pay me. Money. Yeah, pay me the money.
Yeah. Give me the money. Like, me need money now. Me sick. But yeah, no, in that aspect, I was pretty well off. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I wanted to bring something up because it was something you said to me offhand. And it's sort of like, it was something that was sort of like stuck with me because we were talking about the arguments we were going to get into when we started talking.
Yeah.
And you were just like, it'll probably shock you because I agree with a lot of what Jim Cornette says anyway. I'll probably end up coming out sounding a lot like, what did you mean by that?
Oh, God. I've been fucking red for filth now. I'm going to be cancelled for supporting Jim Cornette. No, I do not support Jim Cornette because he is stuck in the fucking 80s and he's pissed off that none of the new indie guys like him, but he doesn't want to be one of the boys. But there is a lot of shit that he has said in the past regarding wrestling that is true. And like you can't really take that away from him despite the fact that he's a fucking clown. But you know, like watching that fucking the Camp Cornette shit from like 97 with like Owen and Yokozuna and Bulldog and all that shit, like based on that performance and how good he is in that position, just to be the mouthpiece. I think he's better than Paul Heyman. Don't tell anyone. But he knew what he was there for and he did the job, as they say. Yeah. But like, and he, like he, most of the shit that he says about new wrestling is coming from a place of just like a lack of understanding. So it's
pretty
easy to just write him off.
Yeah.
Wrestling has changed. Whether he accepts it or not, it has changed.
I think what his argument is like he knows that wrestling has changed. He just doesn't think it's for the better. Because when you look... and his argument, I guess, is like you look around and like all the ratings across the board are down. All the like all this is sort of down. Why is that? It's because in his mind, the business has been exposed so much that no one believes in his stuff anyway. And I think all he wants is, I 100%, I do not agree, or I might chuckle sometimes, but I don't exactly like the fact that like all the nicknames he has for all these guys and all that sort of stuff. But I know why he does that because he's
to his like buddy. He says, yeah.
But if you
he
can,
he's still like a heel. He thinks he's still in character, man. Like that's the cringy bit.
That's the thing, though. It's not a character. I think it's just him. From what I've heard from other people,
I almost said the C word at one point.
he just speaks his mind, and like I wish more people would speak. I wish more people would speak their mind. But it's like I don't agree with what he says. Like,
he says awful fucking shit.
Yeah, I don't agree with how he says the stuff. I agree with a lot of what he says. Like a lot of what he says when he's explaining what he thinks they did wrong, to me makes sense. Mm.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't agree with
calling, I know what you mean.
Things like twinkle toes and pockets and all of that sort of shit. That shit, like, I don't agree with. Mm. When he explains why he doesn't like this stuff, that's when I go, yeah, that kind of makes sense. Why would you do that?
Yeah, like, he's one of those guys in wrestling that's fucking few and far between that are actually well-spoken.
Mm.
Like, you know, despite the content of the shit that he says and how fucking heinous and just nasty he can be, because, I don't know, he's bitter, probably. But it's just, like, if he was trying to make points that he wanted people to listen to and actually give a fuck about, he needs to fucking step into the present time and acknowledge that, one, shit is changing, maybe not for the better in his opinion, but it's changing. There's a lot of people in wrestling now who up until, you know, the last few years would have been a punchline. And the fact that people are like, well, I'm not a fucking punchline, you know, like I'm as valid a wrestler as anybody else. The fact that Jimbo fucking just clings on to that and just tries to break people down and say the nastiest fucking shit just so people be like, oh, look what Cornette said about you. It's just like, it's a very old school way of conveying an opinion, and it is not becoming. It is not flattering to him at all.
No. Like I don't agree with how he describes it, but I don't agree with his manner. I agree with his content.
He makes points. He makes valid points.
Yeah. It's like,
yes, at times, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, even then, there's a lot of shit that he says about wrestling that I don't agree with. But there's some fundamental shit that he has said in the past when he was maybe like a little bit less fucking cynical, and long, he's always been a fucking cynical bastard. But you know what I mean? Like, there was a time when he would, like, I love those done and Vince Russo and all that shit, because he's right about them cunts. I mean, bastards. Bleep that out. Sorry.
That's okay. We have an explicit warning, so it's fine.
Oh, good, Holmes. And he always has. So when Jim goes off at him, I'm like, yes, Jim, correct. But Jim's takes on current day modern indie wrestling, not even like his fucking opinions on everything these days are just like, even if there's a morsel of valid criticism in there, it's just wrapped up with his insatiable urge to make fun of anyone who's not like a weird fat white dude from Kentucky like him. I don't know.
I think a lot of it is he knows it gets under their skin, so he'll do it. But then they do it back to him. So it's like, it's a cycle of
it is. He always wants to make sure that, like, when he says something about wrestling, people listen because it's important and he's Jim Cornette from wrestling. But it's literally like old man yells at cloud. Like, you know what I mean? Just like, and everyone's going, I don't care, Jim. Shut up, Jim. Go back and eat another fucking Wendy's burger, Jim.
Wait, what if he's...
He craps on too much.
Yes, but that's
end of discussion regarding
yes, but that's for his, like I said, that's for his bay. That like, I kind of understand why he, like, I'm at the point now where I understand why he does that, because that's the base he's feeding. but I can pull
absolutely.
I can pull the stuff out that I think he's like, yeah, he's right about it. Like when he talks about the referee that referees all of the Young Bucks matches, and they're like, oh, they make him look like an idiot.
I don't know nothing about that.
Yeah, he was just like,
the bald one, Rick Knox.
Yeah, he was like, they make him look like an idiot because he never enforces anything. And then they started doing the shit like on their Being to the Elite show. They started like acting like they were bribing him. And then they would make little jokes or something and like things like, instead of addressing issues, they make a joke of it.
I would say more than anything else, that's just the Young Bucks. In the Young Bucks, you know, like their whole career, they have existed and then they do something and people go, oh, what did you just do, Young Bucks? And then they go, oh, fuck, I'll just do that again 50 times. I love them, but them's the facts. Sorry, boys.
So what is your ultimate goal, I guess, to keep just doing what you're doing? Are you living your ultimate goal at the moment, or is it?
I wouldn't go that far. I'd say it's definitely on the way to becoming something that I enjoy myself, because art is only it's the only thing I've ever been kind of good at. So I kind of just have to keep pushing and make it work, you know, but yeah. Like, I don't really have an end goal for it. Like, there's no sort of, you know, like upper echelon to reach with it. I think it's just going to be kind of fluid and it'll change as it goes, and people need different things and different art and stuff like that. But I'm just kind of just excited to see where it goes on its own.
So how much of the local stuff do you see or do you watch? I'm not just talking like up here in Queensland. I'm talking just like around the country.
I will be honest, and this is not just for Australian wrestling, but like all wrestling. I haven't been keeping up with the trade as much as I'd like. I tend to have, like, when I sit down to watch something, because I've just, you know, been drawing wrestlers and fucking shit like that all day. I'm just like, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to play a game. Like, wrestling is in my brain all the time. I'm going to need to just, like, take a scene kind of involved or following at least the local Queensland stuff for a while, because I got mates in there, you know. But I have seen a little bit of the DMDU stuff. That's looking fucking mint. Excited for them to come up to Queensland and spray blood everywhere. That's like, they're the guys that I'm mainly excited about watching develop at the moment, because we don't really have a deathmatch scene here. We're starting to build one up, but yeah, I do not watch as much wrestling as I should.
And aside from
someone in my position,
and aside from yelling "fuck you, Todd," it shows. I mean,
well, that's me doing my bit, my contribution to society.
Thanks, mate.
I go to the wrestling show, I see Todd, and I go "fuck you, Todd."
But well, that's the desire.
It's just the gimmick, mate. It's just the bit.
No, that's all right. Oh, yeah. At least you just yell. You don't actually try to hit me. So, I mean.
Well, see, that I imagine if one tried to hit you, you would turn around and go, fucking Charlie Murphy, slap. Like, fucking, you know, like, I don't think people would try.
There was a show a couple of months ago that, like, out of the corner of my eye, I could see the guy try, like, thinking about it. And half of me sort of wanted him to, because I just wanted to melt him. Just like, because he'd been trying to hit me, and he hit there was one point where I'd brought a chair out and I had the chair sitting down because the chair was going to play a spot later on in the match. And I got up off the chair because I was acting angry at the guy that I'm managing, sort of thing. And this dude had grabbed somebody's crutch and knocked the chair, and it hit me right on the side of the knee, like right on the knee bone. You know that bit where it really, yeah, you know when it hits.
Oh, yeah. Like instant rage, yeah.
Yeah, there was a second there where I just completely lost. I was no longer like Todd Eastman manager. It was Todd wanting to kill this guy. And I had to.
I'm Todd who was going to commit murder.
Mm. Yeah, and I had to pull myself up and just like. Mm. But it took, like, it was real close. Like, I hadn't lost my temper like that in a long time. And I, like, sat back, like, put the chair back down.
That's like snap instinct. Yeah.
It was.
People got to be fucking careful with that. Because you don't want to fucking burr up at a wrestler, man. They'll fuck you up.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I saw he was there, and I think it was his mum there and someone else. And I think I grabbed his mum's hat and just threw it. Because I thought,
fuck yeah.
Well, pretty much. And I thought, if he's away doing that, I don't have to. Then I could see him like almost trying to get over those tables. And I'm like, well, it takes a couple of seconds to get over those tables at Venom. I reckon I could catch him before he does it. But yeah, it didn't happen in the end. So that was luckily. Lucky.
Thank you. Avoided a lawsuit.
Well, yeah. I don't want to blow my cover.
I mean, you could have gone fucking full Pillman and just clapped him.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, like, I've got a great little gimmick going there that I'm a wuss. So, I mean, I don't want to ruin that.
That's fair. Yeah. I mean, like, I've definitely seen fans at shows just overstepping that border just a little bit. And it's like, man, you're going to get fucking clapped if you don't sit your butt down. Like, fuck me.
Well,
people just, they much as they get into it.
Oh, I remember it was, I think it was my first year and my wife came to a show and like afterwards we're sitting at home and she goes, how do you handle all the stuff that they say to you? And I'm like, well,
it's what I want them to say to me.
Yeah, that's what like I want them to say that to me. And really, they're not saying it to me; they're saying it to Eastman.
Yeah.
So
that's the thing too. Like, I imagine there's probably a handful of guys that, you know, they go out doing the heel shit, and then when people are like, "Hey, man, fuck you," they're kind of like, "Aw, like, hey." Yeah. Just a bit, man. It's like, you got to commit to that shit. If you want people to hate you, make them fucking hate you. You know what I mean?
Make them hate. I don't want any redeemable feature, like, about me. Like, if I'm making a joke, I'll laugh at it to the point where they hate me for laughing at it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, you want to push it to its outer limit, but then you don't want to go to the point where it's like you're going out to your car after the show. Oh, and someone's waiting there with like a fucking shiv, like they're ready. Like, I guess it's like towing the line, I guess.
Yeah. There has been times where we've been thinking that someone was going to be out there waiting for us. But normally, the good thing about wrestling fans is that they normally just can't be bothered after a while. It's a short attention span.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha. But I also feel like, you know, if they were out there and they were ready to fucking go, you're just like, fucking, it's not real, man. Like, calm down. They'd be like, like they wouldn't fucking understand.
Either that or I'd just grab Rip.
It's a bit, man.
I'd be just like, Rip, can you walk me to the car?
Please.
Yeah.
Kill me.
Yeah. Look, mate, it's been a great chat. For people that want to follow Redneck Kung Fu and everything you're doing and all your sort of stuff, because I know we're talking, you're terrible about getting your plugs out, but let's get a concentrated effort to get your plugs out. I know you've got a Redbubble store.
Yes, I do have a Redbubble store. So, it's if you just search like RNKF, you should be able to see it. I've got Instagram, which is Redneck Kung Fu. I've got Twitter, which is RNKF Shirts, because I couldn't get the Redneck Kung Fu Twitter handle.
Son of a bitch.
Thank you. Yes, that's kind of it, really. That's where I post most of my stuff. I don't have a proper portfolio yet. I'm working on it. it'll be coming soon.
Mm.
But yeah, other than that, Twitter, Instagram is that's the spot.
Yeah, but you got a lot of your works up on wrestlermerch.com, pro wrestling tees. Yeah, yeah. A lot of your stuff up on that sort of thing. Because I did some research, mate, for once, believe it or not.
I'm honored.
Well, I figured one of us had to.
Not going to be me, brother.
Well, hey, I'll figure that. Alex, thank you so much for coming on. That is the end of Wrestle Radio Australia. You can follow us on Facebook, Wrestle Radio Australia. We're also on Twitter at Wrestle Radio AU, and I am at Beast Eastman if you want old grumpy old man takes on wrestling, and also Instagram at Wrestle Radio AU. Again, thank you for coming on the show. I know
thanks
this
for having
is
me, brother.
This is against your better nature to talk in a medium like this.
I enjoyed it.
Oh, well, I enjoyed there, it. There you go. Until next week, it's Todd Eastman. It's my opinion. You're entitled to it. We'll see you next week right here on Wrestle Radio Australia. Too sweet, pouring out the cup. Let's be prison 23.